The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Your senior warden was worried about a quorum today. I just want you to look around. This is the most full this room's been in a long time. So you are strong, hearty people. Waking up on a day when I was brutally reminded why I moved here in the first place. But we've got it a lot better off than most of this country, so pray for those people, especially people that have no power and had not had power for days. We pray for them today. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Famous words from our Declaration of Independence. Most of us recognize them, but I wonder if we ever really stop to discern what they mean. Life, we seem to get that we can live. Liberty, that we can be free. But the pursuit of happiness, that phrase is not always so clear. What makes me happy may not make you happy, and vice versa. We also know that life sometimes, no matter how free, can also be, well, not very happy. I think of many things. In many ways, others have tried to describe these words. The most recent person killed in the violence in Minnesota, Alex Pretty, was shown this week in his work at the VA hospital there as a nurse, memorializing a veteran and saying the words we've heard so often. And the words I think we must always remember, that freedom isn't free. It's eerie to watch and hear him say it each time, at least for me, because he found that out with the ultimate sacrifice himself. Freedom isn't free is something I definitely agree with. And my premise today is that I would say the gospel does too. But I believe our Western generation, and perhaps our rather pampered generations now, here in the richest country in the world, seem to have lost this notion. To a degree, we hear all the time now things like my personal freedom, most summed up by I can do pretty much anything I want. I actually believe much of the selfish angst going on in our country, the anger, the frustration, the hatred, let's just say it, is born out of this false notion and malignment of what true freedom really is. Both Paul and Jesus, when discussing freedom, describe instead a freedom that does have boundaries around it. In other words, freedom does not equal a free-for-all. Freedom does not mean you can do what you want, no matter what. Freedom is not a license to any person to do whatever they wish, with no heed or care about those that share the community with you. When Paul and Jesus and other prophets talk about freedom, for instance, freedom in Christ, this is what I believe they mean. Freedom in Christ. In Christ means not boundary absence, but instead a complete willingness to live within the boundaries described and prescribed by the Gospels, with a special emphasis on following the example of Jesus as he lived his life. The pursuit of happiness, though much more difficult to define, I think falls closely in line with the line I've shared with you before from the Palestinian doctor in Gaza, who, when asked, "What is the secret of a good life?" replied, "The secret of a good life is making sure your neighbor has a good life." If that be true, then the pursuit of happiness also comes with boundaries, comes with care and concern for others. And it is not a lone, solitary endeavor. That pursuit still requires cooperation, concern, care, compassion, consideration of others. Now, this is a small example, but I thought I'd give you a few. People on airplanes. I'm amazed that airlines now have to not only make announcements, but then enforce, on almost every flight, someone not using headphones, but watching out loud whatever they wish on their phone or their iPad or computer, as if this is my seat and this is my personal freedom. If it bothers you or anyone else, who cares? I'm exercising my personal freedom. It's much like the rings or the alerts that just bounce around on every bus, airplane, subway ride, anywhere in public, that it's so important for everyone to hear that you're getting a text or an email. Let me just say, I don't care. And you shouldn't care whether I'm getting mine either. Or perhaps more complex, choosing not to wear seat belts or helmets when on a motorcycle or a bike because I like the wind blowing through my hair. It's my personal freedom. Even though if that person is hit at the next intersection and has a massive head injury, they'll be taken to the hospital. And guess who pays? All of us. And I'm actually for that. I am. You call me what you want. I'm for it. But that's the reality. Insurance, indigent care, whatever ends up costing us all. But I would like those getting it to understand that it takes a community living within the boundaries to have that. Just as not offering health insurance to the whole community costs us all, no matter what you think, it does. It's why we have laws, rules, guidelines. Those are the boundaries meant to allow us all to pursue happiness, but with boundaries. In short, the gospel describes a communal happiness, a communal freedom, a communal life, not a lone, solitary one. None of it is personal or private. The personal and private is instead taken into and made part of this free, happy, liberated community. Now, all of you are wondering, will he ever get to the Beatitudes? I'm there. In Matthew, we're given the Beatitudes today, much beloved by many. But if we really think about these, we have to ask, what was Jesus saying? What was he describing? What was he getting at? Even more, the Beatitudes in different translations of the Bible start with either blessed as they come to us today, or happy. Happy are they. And then we have to ask, do these mean the same thing? Are they really the same? Blessed and happy. Matthew was written in Koine Greek, and in that language, the word used for happiness is makarios. The Greek had two different words for bless. Eulogio, which was more akin to dedicate, and makarios, to be happy. Latin, the later translated language, also had two words for bless. Benedico, which means to consecrate, and beatus, which means to be happy. And the Beatitudes come from that Latin word, beatus, to be happy. I'd argue happy might be better. It's what was intended. But translators, especially into English, didn't like the word happy. They wondered about the word happy. But in the Beatitudes, Jesus, I believe, is taking the whole concept of happiness, which is so often by worldly standards based on material things, and instead creates a whole list of things that are not. Jesus turns happiness into a state of being, not about how much you have or how much you can acquire. Jesus is saying this is not about power or possessions or wealth, but about so many other things that one cannot really possess or acquire or buy, the deeper things of life. Happy are those who find this kind of wealth. Happiness, according to Jesus, comes from living a life of compassion and kindness and care for not only yourself, but for all those who share this space, this time, this life with you, with us. That's where happiness is to be found. As Dennis Whitley once said, happiness cannot be traveled to, owned, earned, or consumed. Happiness is the spiritual experience of living every minute with love, grace, and gratitude. Or as Helen Keller once said, true happiness is not attained through self-gratification, but to a fidelity to a worthy purpose. I think those sum it up. It's pretty much what Jesus was saying too. Such happiness is not attached to wealth, to having a lot, to a good reputation, power, possessions of the goods of this world, which will most definitely change and which will most definitely waste away, but instead of God, the source of all happiness. The Beatitudes are Jesus' description of the world he envisions for all of us. He would not have disagreed with our founding leaders on this worthy goal of ours, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But I think he would have a lot to say, and so he does, in what we have today in this gospel, about where we are going to truly find it. There's nothing wrong with being happy, but it, like all of life lived in Christ, does have limits, boundaries, and it looks very different from what many on this earth call happiness. It is a communal endeavor, not an individual one, and without that community, that coalition, that collective agreement to live within the boundaries, it's one that will surely die along the way. So I wish for you, for this community, for our earthly tribe, life, liberty, and the pursuit of that happiness, the one we share and depend on each other for, the one that makes us the most free by making all free, that makes us the most happy by making all happy. My beloved, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.